You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah, we are halfway done today. Chase Goodbread joining us now. Writes a column for the Tuscaloosa News and others. And we're always good to talk to Chase. We saw him a couple weeks ago in Tuscaloosa. First of all, Chase, great to have you. And when we last saw you, I believe it was before the Tennessee game, there was uncertainty in Tide Nation. There is no longer. How are you? And tell us all about it.
Appreciate you having me on. It's been one heck of a second half of a season for Alabama. There's no doubt about it. I don't think Nick Saban's overseen an Alabama team that's improved as much as this one, and maybe even by a long shot. Because it's an entirely different team than it was in September, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Not so much defensively. I think the defense has been pretty solid all season long, but the offensive turnaround has been remarkable.
Well, everyone goes back and I think points to the quarterback situation, but there has to be more to it, Jay. So give us some insight in to what you have seen and why you think it's turned around like it did.
Well, what's behind the quarterback improvement to me is the offensive line improvement. I think a lot of credit's got to go to Eric Wolford, the offensive line coach who Nick Saban hired from Kentucky a couple of years ago. It was a bad offensive line 3 months ago. There's no other way to describe it. I think in one of my early columns, in the first couple weeks of the season, I think I described it as a poorly organized fire drill, and that's what it was. It was a total mess. Milroe had no time to throw. They weren't running the ball with much consistency at all. And slowly but surely, they kind of solved one problem after another. They tried a platoon. They made a personnel change. They had a couple guys get better, and they had a couple guys that were playing well all along. J.C. Latham's played good football all season. So is Tyler Booker, but 2 out of 5 isn't nearly enough. And now they've brought this offensive line to a point where I'm almost ready to call it a strength now. And there's still some concerns going into the SEC championship game against Georgia. I still felt like offensive line was Alabama's biggest concern of any unit, but they gave Milroe good time to throw for the most part. In some cases, tons of time to throw, and they ran the ball on Georgia well enough. I thought the play of that offensive line is, to me, it's facilitated a lot of the Milroe improvement that we've seen.
There was so much conversation, and Buckner's now gone, but Ty Simpson, there were so many expectations. So many people, frankly, thought he would end up the starter. I realize Milroe still has time in his tank, but what does the quarterback situation look like, especially with maybe the number one player in the country coming in next year?
Yeah, well, quarterbacks are an impatient lot by nature. You can go back and look at the relatively brief history of the transfer portal, and it's pretty plain to see that quarterback rooms have a tendency to empty out in the offseason anywhere you go. Jalen Milroe being a first-year starter, a redshirt sophomore, it's his team now. He just got voted the MVP. He just got voted a permanent captain. So I wouldn't be surprised if another quarterback or two decided to hit the portal along with Tyler Buckner. Simpson's a guy who didn't get too much of a chance this season. Obviously, he played a little bit of football in the South Florida game when Milroe was sitting out. But again, that was behind an offensive line that was a mess at the time. So I don't know that his play this season can really be judged at all. But if he or any of these other quarterbacks decided to move on, it wouldn't be after the season. I don't think it'd be a huge surprise.
In terms of Nick Saban, Chase, you've been around him a long time, and everyone's had opinions, and I don't know how many are right or wrong. It really doesn't even matter. But just to riff a little bit on what you have observed from him and really where he is right now in this remarkable odyssey.
I don't recall seeing him this, jovial is too strong a word, but something close to jovial, right? I've seen him crack more jokes this season than I've ever seen him crack before. He hasn't had a full-on volcanic blow-up in a press conference this entire season. That may be a first, and of course there are a lot of there's some seasons he's had where I wasn't with the Tuscaloosa News and wasn't covering Alabama. I was gone for a good stretch for a while there. But I do pay a lot of attention, and I think I do notice kind of a different tenor with him. He seems to be enjoying the ride a little bit more. I don't think he'd ever say that. His words when he's asked about that kind of thing are always, well, I'm always just looking forward to, the next game and the process, et cetera. But his demeanor tells me that he soaked this season in maybe a little more than he has in the past.
He's also stopped something that could very well have been haunting him this week, and especially toward early January, and that was Kirby Smart's assault on a three-peat, something he couldn't do and something nobody has done in the modern era. It's still early in trying to absorb and comprehend the magnitude of that victory, certainly more magnanimous if Alabama finishes this off. But Chase, that's an interesting part of this puzzle, and I'm curious your thoughts as you watch that Saturday night and as you look ahead.
I think you're right. I think, like you noted, Paul, the story's still got another chapter or two to be written here in a month or so with the CFP, but there's no denying that was a significant win for Saban in a couple of different ways, and one of which being, the narrative on Nick Saban this past offseason, coming off a two-loss year and coming off what many people thought was a slow decline in his program, was that maybe this is finally the point where he doesn't adapt. He's always been a great adapter, but the NIL era, the portal era, that's a new adaptation for everybody. I think there's people questioning whether he even wanted to be a part of all that. And I think if he's able to go on and finish this off and pick up another national championship in the portal / NIL era, it'll be maybe the crowning adaptation of all his adaptations.
Which begs a lot of follow-up questions, which I may save for another day because I don't want to brain on this party here. But I just wonder, and I'm curious what you wonder in terms of what he must be thinking about. He may have a little more time on planes recruiting than he would. He's not getting ready for a game this weekend. He's got a lot to think about. There's a lot to deal with, but there's still a few gasps of minutes that he maybe didn't have over the last couple of months. What do you think his future looks like?
It's a great question. The guy continues to say he's got no thoughts of retiring when he knows he's going to know. I'll say this. I don't have any insight into when he might retire, but I will say that if he were to win another national championship now at 72, having taken back the SEC, having taken back a national championship from an era in college football that a lot of people thought maybe it passed him by. Not sure there would be a better time to go out than that.
You just said a great deal. We'll leave it there and watch the next couple of weeks. Chase Goodbread from the Tuscaloosa News. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate your time. We head to the break. More of your phone calls and your reaction to all of this in a moment.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here on a Wednesday afternoon. V is up next. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, first, let it be known that I'm a Texas X Life member. I'm 72 years old, and I've seen a lot of football in my time from the early 60s when I was 10 years old. And I support about everything you've been saying lately, Paul.
Thank you.
First, for Georgia. The game on Saturday was an elimination game, and it says Frank Thomas, who was the coach of Alabama in the late 30s, after getting another national championship in the Rose Bowl, when they beat Stanford 29-13, the Stanford coach told him, you know, we could have beaten you any other day. Frank Thomas, now he was a assistant with Frank Lee and Newt Rockne in Notre Dame. So that's like being Kirby Smart to Nick Saban. Well, he replied to the Stanford coach, no one told me this was a series.
That's great.
Then let's go back, and I think it's 2021, Cincinnati. Remember, probably the same people that are shouting for Florida State now were shouting for Cincinnati then, and they were not a Power 5 school. About a non-Power 5 school getting into the playoffs, where they threw Cincinnati in, and Alabama beat them. And that Alabama team that day, I mean, it was just a mediocre team, and they still beat up Cincinnati. But Alabama didn't have Mechie, who went out in the Georgia game.
Right.
And then when they played Georgia in the national championship, they didn't have Jameson Williams, who was eliminated or ejected from the game for targeting. So they don't have their two best receivers for that game. But did they complain? No. Did they make excuses? No. So I'll go on with, we've had the Cincinnati thing. Last year, TCU was not the Big 12 champion. Kansas State was. That same Kansas State team that Alabama murdered. But TCU was chosen over Kansas State, even though Kansas State beat them, had the same record, and was Big 12 champions. Power 5 champion, but didn't go. Now, let's rank the Power 5. What would you say is the toughest Power 5 conference right now?
SEC.
I would say probably the SEC.
Sure.
Let's put them in from first to five. You know, we're going to rank them now just like we're doing poll rankings. Second place is third and fourth are probably all a tie between the Big 12, the Big 10, and the Pac-12. Well, let's bring up who's in last place. The ACC. You could put Power 5 on that.
It's barely a Power 5 conference right now.
That's right. I'm just saying it's no better than probably the Mid-American. Well, it's probably better than the Mid-American.
Oh, wow.
But it's not a Power 5, but we'll just put it there. Well, let's see now. Florida State beat LSU on the first game. And, you know, I remember one year Alabama was with Mike Dubose. I believe it was a coach back around 2000. They were ranked number one at the start of the season or close to it. They were 2-3 up there.
Well, they started number three and ended up with three wins.
Yeah, they had a losing record. Well, that didn't mean anything when UCLA beat them on the first game of the season. It may have meant it then, but then, and we're talking about LSU. Well, Ole Miss beat LSU. The same Ole Miss team that was destroyed by Georgia, beaten by Alabama team trying to find itself at the first of the season. But we'll give them LSU. Well, they claim they beat Florida. Florida was 5-6 going into that game. And guess who had beaten Florida? Arkansas. Arkansas beat Florida in the swamp. And Florida had their quarterback for the Arkansas game. Arkansas won one SEC game. Florida, even Auburn. And Auburn wasn't that bad. They were murdering Arkansas and Little Rock 21-0 in the first quarter and just laid them out, 48-10? But Arkansas beat Florida, and Florida had their quarterback. Well, against Florida State, Florida did not have their quarterback. Not the same Florida team. And, yes, Florida State even barely beat Boston College, which brings up 1993. In the next to the last game of the season, undefeated Notre Dame and undefeated Florida State played one another. Notre Dame wins the game 31-24. Notre Dame is number one. Florida State drops. The next week out, Notre Dame loses to Boston College.
Correct.
Florida State wins. Guess what happens? Florida State is made number one. Did head-to-head count? We're hearing so much about head-to-head right now. But did head-to-head count? No. So Florida State needs to give their trophy to Notre Dame for 1993. Okay, on other note, we hear, like I say, about injuries. Don't whine about them. They happen in football and in other sports. Okay, I want to mention Lane Kiffin. He was a laughingstock when USC fired him on the airport tarmac. They fired him, sitting off the plane. And then, you know, he's a laughingstock.
They didn't even give him a ride home.
That's right. Nick Saban hires him as an offensive coordinator. He saved Lane Kiffin's career. Nobody wanted anything to do with Lane Kiffin. He was the joke. And then there he is, becomes a successful offensive coordinator under Nick Saban, and then everybody wants him. But has Lane Kiffin ever been thankful for Nick Saban saving his career?
Hey, by the way, I don't know if it's your next point. He did the same thing a couple of years later with another coach.
Yes, let's go to Steve Sarkisian. USC, again, fired him. I believe he became drunk.
He was publicly intoxicated at a university event.
Yes. Well, he's out. Who rescues him? Nick Saban. Steve Sarkisian would never have been in coaching again, just like Lane Kiffin, if it had not been for Nick Saban. and some other coaches. But when you listen to Steve Sarkisian, our coach, and thank you, Nick Saban, for Steve Sarkisian. That's why out here we even say Roll Tide. But
hey, V, listen, we're getting late in the segment, but I deeply appreciate your you have an amazing memory. I'm impressed. Thank you. Brian is up next in California. Hello, Brian.
Paul, thanks for having me. Looking forward to waking up January 1st in my own bed and driving over to Pasadena for the granddaddy. Alabama Crimson Tide in their white. The Wolverines will be in their blue. And it's just going to be a beautiful setting. Are you going to Rose Bowl, Paul? I assume you are.
Yeah. It's on my list.
Very good. So I've been a Michigan fan over 30 years. But before you hang up on me, I'm not from there. And I don't even like their fans myself. So I've been to more SEC games than Michigan games. So I have a tremendous respect for the SEC. And very happy Michigan is facing Alabama, because if you want to beat the best, you got to, you know, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best, right?
That's what I've heard.
And so if Michigan was playing Florida State and they beat them and then they beat Texas or Washington, then like, well, we didn't beat any SEC team. So you got to earn it. What I'm curious, though, is that I'm seeing that about 90% of the action is going on Bama, and the line's only moved a half a point. I know you're not a gambling man, but I am. I've been in gambling 30 years.
Well, and, tell me this, though, Brian, and, you know, I follow it. Yeah. I don't want to act like I don't bet, but I know I got a few friends who do. It's early. If you're a player, do you get in now or do you wait?
Well, it depends on who you you're taking.
Let's say you're taking Alabama.
Right. My first instinct is, yeah, Alabama. I think like everyone else. I've got a source that at the Westgate Casino, 90% of the action has been on Bama money line, and the line hasn't moved. Usually when that happens, Paul, the line will go from Michigan -2 to at least a pick 'em by the
Is it dependent on the amount of money, Brian, or does the money move the line?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, absolutely. It depends on the amount of money, but generally just all the bets coming in. So if the tricky thing is, I mean, I'm thinking, God, Bama's going to destroy Michigan. I mean, these are, you know, I know this, it's a little more even this year. Then, you know, this is probably Michigan's best chance to win something, you know, with the SEC. But
Brian, I'll tell you this about Bama. Bama has a big contingency of gamblers, but they will bet on Bama. But I'm not interested in who Alabama fans are betting on. I'm interested in neutral parties. And am I wrong to conclude that there's some doubt from the street about Alabama?
Right. You went to the Alabama Clemson game in 2019, the championship, right?
Sadly, I was there.
Yeah, I was there as well. And then you were there for the later that year when Bama lost to LSU, Burrow versus Tua.
Yeah, I have not missed any of these games. There's been a few long rides home.
I was there as well. I was right behind you in your show. And then we're both going to be at the Rose Bowl. So I hope it's not a trend we're seeing. For Bama fans.
Well, so let me tell you. The Alabama games, I'm still not sure I can explain. The game in Santa Clara was just an absolute train wreck.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson was, I think, at his best at that point. But I just
Hey, Brian, I'll see you out there. We're up against. Yeah, so Deshaun Watson beat Alabama on that in the Tampa game at the end of the 15 season, out in 18. That was Trevor Lawrence putting on a show. And so which season was that? So Bama won 15. The 18 season was when Trevor Lawrence did his number on Alabama. And I remember standing on the field at the beginning of the game, and I looked at him. I go, oh, my goodness, this guy's – I mean, he literally towered over everyone while Tua – could barely see over the line. We'll take a short break. We are back with more after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Let us continue with more phone calls. Jay is in Mobile. Hello, Jay.
Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You are my hero, Mr. Feinbaum. The way you put J.K. in his place, I have to say that was totally amazing.
Yeah, by the way, Jay, I got a call today from a friend at a local hospital. He's in the intensive care unit.
Are you being serious?
And they've called the morgue. And they've got a body bag waiting. I mean, we pretty much body bagged him here, didn't we?
Let me tell you something. You were great. That was my favorite moment all year in 2023. That was just... You finally had enough of him.
Yeah.
You basically put your foot in his rear end, Paul.
Well, sometimes you just got to, I'm more than tolerant of chatty callers that don't know what they're talking about. And he right now is in that top five.
It was awesome. Paul, we hadn't heard from the Brad either.
No, Michael Bratton is, they've got his toe being measured as well.
Yeah, you might need to find another line of work, Michael Bratton. Doesn't he owe Larry some money?
Yeah, we ought to have Brad on here one day in studio and let people call in, but don't let Brad talk back. I mean, just like, hey, come on, take your punch.
I love it. I love it. Y'all have a great day, Paul. Roll Tide.
This might be my favorite call of the year. Burton is in Pensacola. Hello,
Coach,
Burton.
Coach, what's up, Mr. Feinbaum?
Hey there.
Mouth of the South, the king of the airways on TV. This is actually Burton. I called you a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Let you know that. Burton from Roebuck Dine.
Sure.
I want to call you. I'll be honest with you. The call you just had from the guy from Birmingham, and it goes – you talking to him at Visionland and stuff. I don't think you realize, like people my generation, how much you are a part of our families. And that's coming up, you know, hearing you on TV and radio.
Well, thank you.
My guys, I used to listen, you know, when my dad back in the early 90s, when you were 960, we would open the doors and we'd be out there working.
Yeah, you know, Burton, it's funny you bring that up, and I don't think about it very often, but I was on CNN Monday night with Caitlin Collins. I don't know how many of you know her. She's an Alabama graduate, and she hosts a show. She's the one that did the Trump interview last summer that everybody reacted to. And she's, at the end of the interview, she said, this is really so weird for me because when I was picked up in middle school and junior high, you know, most of my friends were listening to the latest rock music. She said, I got subjected to listening to your show every day. And after, my father once said, you want me to change the channel? And then it was part of her Alabama fandom. She's like the biggest Alabama fan in the world. She told me that she was over covering the Gaza situation the morning of the Iron Bowl. So I'm trying to think, what time would it have been? The game started at 3:30 here, so it was literally the middle of the night, wouldn't it be? Like 1 or 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like one or two or three in the morning. She said she'd worked all day for CNN. It's obviously a very serious situation, but she stayed up and watched every minute of the game. Yeah, I think the game started at 10:30 at night and ended about 1 or 2 in the morning. But anyway, I've been meaning to tell that story since Monday.
No, you're something else, truly. I get choked up talking to you, so I can't call in. Burton,
you don't know what that means to all of us here. That's very special.
Well, you are. Now my little grandkids, I'm 45, my grandkids coming here, you know, and I'm watching you. You've been watching Paul Roll Tide and this and that. It's just funny that
Well, Burton, you know, the 2 and 3 year olds don't know anything about me, but they do know the Taylor Hicks song. I mean, I've run into more kids on Fridays, and they start singing the song.
Yep. The reason why I was calling is, you know, if the committee, you know, when they ranked it earlier in the year, they ranked it, it was undefeated, then you're 1 loss, and you're 2 loss, and you're 3 loss teams. If the committee doesn't change that by the strength of schedule and who you played and when you lost, and they're just going to go by that, next year, the number 12 is going to be a pissed off team base. You know what I mean? This year would be a mess.
Yeah, but next year, I mean, somebody will get left, but I cannot imagine Burton it ever reaching.
Yeah, I don't think.
How many times have you heard, you know, the basketball cognoscenti raging about some mid-major gets left home, and 2 days later, nobody cares.
Yeah, but
this is a little more important.
Ole Miss would be pissed.
Well, they would be, but it still wouldn't reach the level. But I mean, we have never had. I mean, this is. I remember asking Roy Kramer one day. He's the father of the BCS. I asked him about how convoluted the system was, and Roy, for all of you who know him, I mean, he just had that toothy grin, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "That's good for business." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Guys like you and people like you all across the country sit around every day screaming and hollering, and that gets more people interested in college football." So in one way, as I know this is not going to be soothing to the folks in Tallahassee, but this has been the best week of college football in a long time. The former president of the United States is raging. The governor, senators, state legislators. I mean, we have heard from not everyone, but almost everyone on this subject, and I can't ever remember a college football issue that has drawn this much interest. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here as we work our way through Wednesday afternoon. How about Larry in Houston? Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. I'm calling in regards to a video clip I saw this morning with Brian Kelly. And you probably already seen this, where he was asked a question, I guess, at a press conference about what he thought about the rankings and all that. And he brought up a very valid point, which was, you got 4 spots, you got 5 teams. Somebody's got to be left out. And by the way, I really enjoyed your segments with him on Mondays during the season, was very, very good. But yeah, I realize the committee has got several parameters that they look at in no particular order. It's conference championships, ranked the schedule, head-to-head, win-loss. And it looked like, to me, this time win-loss really didn't come into play that much, but the other three items did. Because if you look at the conference championships, they all had them. They had head-to-head. Texas beat Alabama, and they got put in above Alabama. And then when you look at the strength of schedule, Texas was 2, Alabama 6, Washington 8, and Florida State was 55. And if you look at the strength of schedule of their opponents, Texas, Alabama, and Washington were about a 45, and FSU was a 59, I believe. Now, I realize there's different outfits that put out these ratings, but that's just the ones that I happened to run across. So I just was curious as if that is another thing that would hopefully try to soothe the feathers of the FSU people. I doubt it will.
Larry, I don't think anything. I think had it been anyone but Alabama, there wouldn't be quite the outrage. But, I mean, I heard this with my own eyes. I was watching CNN on Sunday night, which could be my mistake. And they had a guest who literally said Nick Saban, Alabama got in because it was preferential treatment because of Nick Saban. So you start getting all this misinformation out there, and it just goes into a mushroom cloud, and everybody draws a little bit or whatever they want. And I'll put myself included. I mean, I've been on plenty of forums talking about this, and you all, you know, I was in a debate once in high school. I got roped into some. I had no idea what I was doing. What you do is you use whatever information. My debate team, you just grab whatever information that suits your side. It doesn't matter whether it's even accurate or true. You throw it up against the wall, and that's what people are doing here on both sides.
Oh yes, that's true. Very true. I was really impressed with V and his knowledge, just as you were, of the historical track of some of these football
great.
Games. I could have never thought of all that stuff.
No, he was all, hey, thank you very much. And by the way, it was one and done on the debate. I was filling in for somebody. They didn't want me back. They said, you just can't get up there and make, you can get up there and argue, maybe put, you just can't make up the whole thing. I'm like quoting the Constitution. They go, have you ever read? I said, no, I don't worry about it. It's like the, what's that like the line in, remember the movie Animal House? When they're being called in to, they're going to kick them out of the, they're going to throw the fraternity off. And the guy, was it Belushi? No, it wasn't Belushi. Belushi was the guy sitting there, wasn't he?
No, he was
okay, John Belushi is the guy screaming and hollering. And he said, you know, this is unfair, blah, blah, blah. He said, when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, and the guy looked at him and said, don't worry about it, he's rolling. Classic line, 50 years ago, I still remember it, almost 50 years ago. Tom is in West Virginia.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum.
Good afternoon
to you.
How are you today? We are doing great. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for the opportunity. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you.
And I want to start by, of course, congratulating the Crimson Tide for another great victory in Southeastern Conference Championship. And I also thought that Georgia should also be in the Final Four. I would have had I had Georgia in before I turned in Sunday to watch the show, and I had them in the top four, and I would have Michigan. I'll give anybody a choice of Texas and Washington, and then I would have had Alabama third, and I would have had the Bulldogs number four. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, Tom, I think if you just separate yourself, so you had Georgia where again? Third?
Number four.
Okay, number four. I think Georgia should have been, you know, Georgia should have been the conversation, and until I'm told otherwise, I am going to believe this. I believe Georgia initially was the number five team, and they did not want to take the heat of being SEC heavy. And the committee made a mistake doing this. They would have taken less heat at Georgia at the Florida State at six than they would have the way they did it. But being a committee, and I bet you've been on one before, Tom, you start looking at, okay, if we do this, what's the reaction going to be?
Yes,
so they all coalesced around the top four, and they just juggled the next two.
I see.
And again, also, by the way, for the record, Tom, nobody has told me that. I'll make it clear. That's an opinion, and I'll change my opinion if somebody ever tells me I was wrong.
And I wanted to comment, I still think Georgia will make a great statement in the Orange Bowl. By the way, they're going to come out and play. I think they'll have a lot to be. I think
well, that is not the only way, but that would be a really nice way of putting this to bed.
Yes, sir. And also, finally, I wanted to say, your staff has always been so professional and so classy and so kind. Every time I get on your show, the gentleman has been so kind, and I wanted to give them a big shout out and wish you, Paul, and your family, and all of your great staff, and thank you. We all owe you guys so much gratitude and thanks for what you do to the listener and what you provide for us. You're the greatest of all time, one fantastic human being, and above all, Paul, to all of you, may God bless.
Tom, God bless you. Thank you very much. And I don't know whether we really are any of those things, but we're deeply appreciative. What are you nodding your head for? Randy goes, yeah, well, that's us.
That's how we roll.
Randy goes, you better believe we're that good. we got in that little cup over there, right? It's like brown, a little brown liquid.
Brown
it's all. I mean, it's 6 o'clock, Randy. Okay, sure. Yeah, it's Randy said it's some energy juice. Okay, get me 3 fingers during the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.